Today on VFN TV, we're going to continue the wonderful interview with Ron Latini talking about unity and a march changing America.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
You can kind of see why maybe the pews are divided and segregated because the leadership was so long segregated.
Right. Okay. And there has always been a contention, you know, about that. But Fred, the celebration of Dr. Fred Luter in 2012 as president of the SBC was huge. Yeah. And I had the privilege of being there in New Orleans and being on the program, which again was an amazing thing. I don't know how I got elected to do that, but I was set to lead a prayer over the afternoon session, and right after that prayer, shortly after, was the vote would be taken to elect the first black president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And I recall looking out at that crowd in the convention center in New Orleans, packed out. Man, it was a sense of joy and jubilation at that moment.
It was time.
Fred was one of the he was one of the beloved sons of New Orleans. Yeah. Everybody knows Fred in that city. And the news channels went wild locally when Fred got elected. President Obama called Fred on the phone and Michelle to congratulate him the day after. Fred tells the story. Right. And you know, here was a kid raised on the streets of New Orleans, you know, and had a turbulent teenage years. And then with no education, you know, formal education, to be elected unopposed as the first black president. So Obama called him and says, how does it feel to be elected unopposed? And invite him to the White House and everything, you know, and even though they're theologically on opposite ends. He thought it was great. I'm being called by the president of the United States.
President,
But he really teared up and sharing in Africa on a trip we went to Africa. I went with him. He really teared up when talking about his encounter shortly after getting elected, getting a call from Dr. Billy Graham, inviting him up to North Carolina to his home in Montreat, where he was picked up by the Billy Graham Association, drove up to the mountain. Fred tells the story that on the way up to the mountain, he felt like he was going to see Moses.
Literally.
Almost, and he gets up there and was escorted into the kitchen with a pot of coffee. And here this aged, gray-haired giant of the 20th century, the Moses, the prophet of the 20th century, addressed him and said how proud he was of this moment for the convention, for Fred, for America. And getting to know
because Brother Graham would not allow racial divisions in his meeting.
Never.
He put his foot down and he said, it's not going to happen.
It's
a fact. So he would not do it if the people would segregate the audience.
In 1957, at this crusade in New York City, at a time when it was not popular to do it for this evangelist, he brought Martin Luther King Jr. on the platform with him. This is 1957, as against all conventional wisdom of the Southern Baptist, which he was a part of.
Right.
His membership was at First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. But regardless, he would not compromise on the issue of race, and from 1960 on, refused to take invitations in the South that would not allow blacks or people of color, or even people of other denominations to attend. And I mean, that he stayed consistent.
Well, it just shows you, you know, if you want God to use you in his kingdom, the ministry, you have to embrace all his people.
All of his people.
I mean, I think about Azusa Street. It was known for, you know, 1907, but it was diversity and that, you know, all of us are creating the image and the likeness of
God. Dr. Billy Graham, began my model.
Okay.
That was my model. I mean, you know, I mean, from the Neo-Pentecostals on the PTL show, where everybody loved Billy Graham.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, they just saw in him the touch of God prophetically. And I believe he was consistent honoring Jesus' prayer in John 17. He honored it. Now, there are many evangelists that were either all Pentecostal, all Baptist, all non-Pentecostal, you know, the schism, you know, black, white, you know, all these groups. And yet Billy Graham seemed at his crusades to have everybody attend Everybody.
And that's how
from
we
whatever
should be.
Christian yeah. denomination, whatever race or culture.
Right.
And it became universal. Its crusades went universal.
Yeah.
He became like America's pastor. And, you know. And I said, why can't? When all hell broke loose during the presidential campaign in 2016, a very bitter, you know, which incited riots and shootings all over the country.
Right.
And, you know, and I thought to myself, why couldn't Graham's strategy be used instead of crusades? Why couldn't we come together in some other fashion? Mm-hmm. And God began to stir my heart in 2016 during the initial meetings inside of buildings. Up to that point, the unity movement of churches coming together, racially, culturally, was all inside of our buildings. Mm-hmm. So our community had no idea of what was happening with God's people. So there was no evangelistic component.
We'll be right back with my interview with Ron Latini. Be sure to comment below. We love to hear your comments, what you think about unifying, all this wonderful stuff. And also, don't forget to go to VFNKB Community and join the community. It's VFNKBCommunity.com.
We'll be right back.
It seems to me that he is the one setting the stage right now. You know, a lot of people think that the president is in charge. No, he's not. A lot of people think that Congress is calling the shots. No, they're not. Or the Supreme Court, or Hollywood, or the EU, or Putin, or ISIS. No, ladies and gentlemen, none of them are in charge. Each and every one of them are simply playing their role because he is over all. He's sovereign over all. He's the one who has everything in control. They are just unwittingly serving his purpose, because even when we have someone like Pharaoh who oppresses God's people, he brings them into bondage. The reason he did that is because Stephen told us later in Acts chapter 7 that the reason this treacherous king did this to our people is because the time was drawing near for the promise that God had sworn to Abraham to come to pass. That's why.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights, but it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they work for others, and I believe they're going to work for you. I want to help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I want to bless you with my book for free. That's right. I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about. It's free. Claim your book. Don't wait a second longer and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And if you read John chapter 17 and verses 22 and 23, there is an evangelistic component to unity.
Yes.
And that verse literally, if I may, I think I'll be quoting out of the Holman standard, where it says, may they be one, Father, as we are one, so the world will know that you sent me. Okay, so we're talking evangelism.
Right.
We're talking about doing this for the sake of presenting the gospel with one voice, not splintered and segregated, isolated from each other, like it is now in America. Exceptions to the rule, granted, but overall. But with one voice, united, loving each other, showing the world the power of the gospel to break down, as it did Jew Gentile in Scripture. You know, Paul said the dividing wall of hostility has been broken down between Jew and Gentile, male, female, black, white. All the everything that can be divided is being divided in America. And here's the gospel, the one thing that is the power to unite. But we, the church, collectively, corporately mm-hmm. in America, mm-hmm. with exceptions, mm-hmm. have done the very thing Christ said not to do.
Right.
You know, I'll say this, and I believe I'm correct. That's my own conviction. Everybody's been praying for awakening, revival in America, blah, blah, blah. Books are written about it for decades. Why hasn't it come? I believe, Greg, I really do, that God has not sent revival, has not sent a spiritual awakening like in the first and second great awakenings mm-hmm. that hit America centuries ago because of the division of us not honoring John 17. We've dishonored it. We've politicized now, currently, right. the gospel in all these different camps, black, white, whatever you want right. to say. We have not come together, and we've allowed that division. We have not agreed to disagree
right.
on issues. You know, like you have to do sometimes with your own family. Your right. kids may disagree with you on something. You don't disown them. You know, right. they're still our family. We're blood related.
Right.
Jesus died on the cross. We're right. blood related. Right. His blood in Calvary. And even if we disagree politically on something or disagree on a social issue, mm-hmm. that has to do with sanctification. Right. Isn't God? We don't cut our arm off.
Right.
You know, if the eye doesn't agree with the hand, do we cut it off? You know,
right.
you know we're family.
Paul writes, if you think differently, just hold on.
Hold on. Yeah, let God take care of those issues that we don't agree on. Yeah. We'll agree to disagree.
Right.
You know, we know doctrines that will separate a evangelical, say, Southern Baptist from a Pentecostal, once saved, always saved. You know, you hear all the mm-hmm. eternal security issues. Mm-hmm. We can agree to disagree on those issues. We'll find out when we get to heaven who's right. right.
But in the meantime, will be a final exam.
But in the meantime...
You made it 80. No messing with
In the meantime, we can witness the world by right. saying, hey, world, look, you guys are arguing right now.
Right.
And you hate him because he doesn't agree with you, whether it's over Trump or something
crazy,
else.
Right? Yeah.
Hey, we're Christians. Mm-hmm. We don't agree on this issue politically or this mm-hmm. issue culturally. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We believe that Jesus is the eternal Son of God who came into the world, co-equal with the Father, died on Calvary's cross, came to die on a cross to mm-hmm. forgive us of sin, right. S-I-N.
Right.
You know, and remove what we inherited from Adam, right. to take it away mm-hmm. and give us a clear way to heaven. And he is the only way. He is the right. ultimate revelation, the only way to God, the only way for us to become. And so we're telling you, though we disagree mm-hmm. on these issues, we love each other and we believe there's only one way that this can be resolved, that we can receive salvation and be reconciled.
Right.
And why, you know, but the bottom line was the church was not doing that.
Right.
There were schisms and division, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and we've dishonored the prayer of our Lord. Right. If we can, it's not too late. If the body of Christ, the majority of believers can come together now, at such a time as this in America, when there is so much hatred going on, mm-hmm. if we could come together in marches and in rallies all over the nation with our black brothers and sisters and Hispanic and Asian and whatever other group there is, all these different denominational stripes, Pentecostals, Neo-Pentecostals, Baptists, Methodists, Catholic, born-again Catholics, come together and say, you know what? Hey, we made you, if somebody said, what do you think about this?
Right.
What do you think about that thing? Well, in this crowd, you probably find a lot of opinions, but there's one thing that we're here, the reason why we're here, there's one thing we all agree on. There's only one way, remember that children's song?
Yeah.
One way to peace. Through the power of the cross, and his banner over me is love. That's a little children's church song.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
One way to peace through the power of the cross, his banner over us, is his love.
That's awesome.
And if we can do that today, in such a time that we're in right now in America, it could be a catalyst to spur a spiritual awakening. Mm-hmm. Especially among the millennials and Generation Z,
which we're losing.
Their
if
kids,
we don't
our grand, yeah. you know, you got grandkids. I got our grandchildren. Mm-hmm. What kind of America? What kind of world do you want them to grow up in? Right. We have a responsibility right now to initiate what should have been done a long time ago, and not have been tolerated in America.
Right.
Yeah, people have been saved through the centuries. Yes, churches have been blessed. People have been discipled, but
we're losing a nation.
But there hasn't been the kind of outpouring. Because we have modeled. You know, say a picture is worth a thousand words, right? Mm-hmm. We have modeled a picture in America of a divided church. Right. And the forces behind identity politics, which is not the message of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Mm-hmm. Identity politics is not the civil rights movement led by Dr. Martin Luther King.
Right.
No, he envisioned a day when black children and white children will walk hand in hand, singing free at last, free at last.
Yeah.
Thank
God. Yeah.
That's his, this it's, identity politics is not that.
Yeah.
Identity politics is saying, no, skin color matters.
Right.
And they have sought to divide America and even succeeded in many parts in dividing Christians from each other.
We'll be right back with my interview with Ron Lattini. Be sure to comment below. We love to hear your comments, what you think about unifying, all this wonderful stuff. And also, don't forget to go to VFNKB Community and join the community. It's VFNKBCommunity.com.
We'll be right back.
In the 1970s, Malcolm Muggeridge said this: "It is difficult to resist the conclusion that 20th century man has decided to abolish himself. Tired of the struggle to be himself, he has created boredom out of his own affluence, impotence out of his own erotomania, and vulnerability out of his own strength. He himself blows the trumpet that brings the walls of his own cities crashing down, until at last, having educated himself into imbecility, having drugged and polluted himself into stupefaction, he keels over a weary, battered old brontosaurus and becomes extinct. Having created boredom out of his own affluence, we have become so affluent and so bored at the same time. Impotence out of his own erotomania. We have become so erotic in our proclivities and in our desires, we have become impotent to natural drives. Having created now imbecility out of our own gains, we have made so much of progress in education and yet have become so imbecilic in ordinary choices. And now ready to keel over, a weary, battered old brontosaurus to become extinct."
There are almost 7 billion people who are living on planet Earth right now. And I wish every one of them could read through the Bible before they ended their time on Earth. It's where we find truth. It's what God says about himself. Because everyone has an opinion about what is right and what is wrong, but ultimately, it doesn't matter what you think. We all think differently. Every culture has a thought of what is right and what is wrong. And there's a majority in every culture that buys into a certain belief system. And yet what scripture says is, you know, the grass is going to wither, the flower is going to fade, but the word of God, the word of our God will stand forever. At the end, we're not going to be judged by the majority. We're going to be judged by God himself. We need to get people alone with this book, reading it for themselves, understanding it for themselves. Because when this is all over, it's going to be about God's word. And his authority is the only authority.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And they have sought to divide America and even succeeded in many parts in dividing Christians from each other.
Well, the very, very word devil means one who gets in between and divides.
Oh, we know the real enemy.
So Satan. When you're seeing division,
right,
you're allowing the Satan to have his field day. And when you unite, even when it hurts,
right,
you're actually defeating Satan.
And if I may on that note, Greg, to say that, you know, these churches that have allowed themselves to be politicized to the degree that if you don't vote for Trump, then you're a heathen and you're a demonic possessed person and we're going to beat you at the poll. they have turned their faith to politicians.
Or some other candidate.
Or some other candidate. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on either side. Yeah, either side of the issue. Mm-hmm. They turn themselves over to be used by the enemy to make politics their passion, rather than sharing the gospel of Christ. They'd rather beat their opponents, if it's on either side of the issue, at the polls and get their guy in, then lead them to faith in Jesus, even pray for them. Right. Where, my goodness, where in the world do you find that in the ministry of Jesus? Yeah. You know, we our voice to a lost person, our message rather, is the gospel. You know, we can't debate cultural issues like abortion or homosexuality and expect them to believe like we do. They're lost.
Right.
You know? So, exactly. You know, so we our passion ought to be, we need to pray and then share our life stories of how Jesus changed my life with these people. And then over relationships, loving relationships, lead these people gently to the Savior, not demonize them.
Right.
When we do that, we add fuel to the forces behind identity politics to further divide us.
Right.
Now that's why they're writing articles you read now. Well, those white evangelicals.
Yeah, they define it.
Yeah, they're not for you black people. So you black Christians need to, that is exactly what's happening.
Right.
We need to recapture again, come back to the gospel of Christ and unite around the gospel and agree to disagree and all this stuff, but say, you know what, our message is the gospel to lost America. And if we can come together that way, what a powerful, we could have another Jesus movement that happened in the 70s with the hippie generation.
Let it be.
We could, you remember Andre Crouch and the Disciples?
Yes.
Remember the song, Through It All, Through It All? Or how about this one by Andre Crouch? And everybody, our black sisters and brothers will know that name. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Yeah.
That is as true today as it was true in the Jesus movement in the 1970s. And for the sake of our children and young people, man, we need to go ahead and get out of our buildings. And it's not abandoning denominations.
Right.
It's not you, as let's say, as a Pentecostal brother, having abandoned your positions on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit or whatever, and we have to all have to agree on everything theologically. But it's rather saying we can set those at the door and come together in gathering events in our communities, like we've been doing on the west side of Pensacola, and truly love each other in those meetings and celebrate the gospel, what we agree on, which is the essentials of our faith. You've got to believe that to be a Christian. And once you're a Christian, let Jesus grow us through sanctification and wrestle with those other issues beyond.
But the great white throne of judgment, I don't think he's going to talk about your political
affiliation. Did you support Trump?
Or other candidates.
Or other candidates.
It's not just Trump.
But I'm saying because of where we're at right now, you know, because of the hostility. It's not, you know, we have got to learn to not get so caught up in the hateful rhetoric that's out there and get so caught up, you know, in the political order, that we lose focus of our main mission in this world. The main mission for the Christian is to seek and to save that which is lost.
Do me a favor. Look right here in this camera and talk to the man and woman right now that's just understanding this gospel that you're talking about and pray with it. Just lead them to know Jesus Christ right
now. I'll do it. You know, the relationship that we have with our Lord is paramount. You know, it's not so much crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's of certain orthodoxy and theological systems of belief beyond the gospel. A lot of people make that primary. It has to do with relationship, not a religion. There were those in the Bible that were caught up in legalism, Judaizers they called them, in the first century church, that made circumcision the big dividing question between Jew and Gentile. We're facing a lot of the same thing right now in America, and it has to do with being politically correct or being on what side of the political aisle you may be on, or other issues that might be taking prominence in the social circles of our culture. But the most important thing is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Like Billy Graham said, it's not religion, it's a relationship. It begins there. It begins wherever you're at right now, wherever you're at in the culture, no matter what the color of your skin, no matter where you were born and raised, no matter what things you've done in the past that you're ashamed of, where you sit right now, if you're listening to my voice, my friend, do what I did years ago in 1974 after a martial arts karate tournament in Miami when God got a hold of my mind. You simply say, you know, Lord, all this baggage that I have, all these things that I've done that I feel guilty and ashamed of now, even the confusion that's in my head right now, Lord, if you're truly God, Lord Jesus, if you're truly his ultimate revelation to mankind, to humankind, if you died on the cross to forgive me of my sins, if all this is real, then right now I open up the door to my heart. I invite you to come in to my life. You can make, you can correct the mess that's going on inside of me. Lord, take control of my life. I give you my heart. I give you my life, my future right now. I'm throwing the full weight of my trust in you. If you do that in sincerity right now, Christ will honor. He'll be faithful to his own word. Friend, he took your sins on that cross 2,000 years ago. You've already got forgiveness waiting for you. It's a gift waiting for you to receive. And like any gift, all you have to do is accept it, receive it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. Nothing you have to do to earn it. Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. And it's ready for you. Receive him into your heart. Experience the new life like I did. He'll do an Ajax job on your heart and on your mind. He'll clean it up. He'll give you an opportunity to start a brand new chapter in your life, no matter what you did in the past. Dr. Billy Graham would say at his crusades through the 20th century, I love when he said, you can close the curtain on your past life. Everything that's happened back here has been covered by the blood, the shed blood on Calvary's cross for your sins. And you can open up to a brand new beginning, this time walking with God, walking with the Lord. There are new adventures for you to experience. I never dreamed that I'd be doing what I'm doing right now. Never dreamed my life would be the way it is right now. It couldn't have sold that bill of goods to me after Vietnam and my time there. No one could have convinced me of that. The Lord can work miracles. He's still doing them every day. Conversion is the greatest miracle of all. A change of life, a change of mind and heart. Receive Jesus.
Pray with them right now. Would you take them through a prayer that they can
actually... I do it. And it doesn't have to use any churchy words.
Right.
You can come from your own heart, your own mind. Just say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I'm a sinner.
I'm a sinner.
And I need a Savior.
And I need a Savior.
And I can't save myself. I tried.
I can't save myself. I tried.
Please, Lord.
Please, Lord.
On the basis of what you have done.
On the basis of what you have done.
Dying on that cross, giving your life for my sins.
Died on the cross, giving your life for my sins.
Bringing forgiveness.
Bringing forgiveness.
An opportunity for a brand new life.
An opportunity for a brand new life.
And heaven is my home one day.
And heaven is my home one day.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Come in today.
Come in today.
Come in to stay.
Come in to stay.
I surrender to you.
I surrender to you.
As Lord of my life.
As Lord of my life.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, you made that decision. I just want to tell you, welcome to the family of God. We have a number on the screen. We have a website address to contact us. We have some gifts for you. Just want to welcome you to the family of God.
Amen.
We're going to continue with this interview on VFN TV. Catch us tomorrow, but remember how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. And dear God, we ask you, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.